Simon Conway's show here on News Radio 1040 WHO. I am delighted, and I mean that genuinely, to welcome to the studio Sue Dvorsky, who is the Iowa chair of the DNC. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Simon. The Iowa chair of the Iowa Democratic Party. I can't I can't take credit or responsibility for much more than that.
You know, I'm never very good with titles because they. but anyway, you're kind of in charge of Iowa Democrats. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah. If that were true, seriously, I'd be making more money.
What caught my eye, and the reason that we reached out to you, to be perfectly honest with you, is I saw your website and I asked you to come in because you called to fellow Democrats to stand with the president, which I completely get. That's your role. And then you said, and support his record of results and progress. So I just want to run through just a couple of things, and then I'm going to let you talk. I'm not going to talk all over you. We have recorded unemployment over 9%. That's despite the president promising us that the stimulus would keep it at 8%. We have real unemployment that is, of course, much higher than that because we're not even counting people who are now so desperate they've stopped looking. So we're not counting those. We have more people on food stamps than at any time in our history. We have now more officially poor than in the last 30 years as of today. We have a debt figure that is truly obscene. Our credit has been downgraded. And frankly, I'm only scratching the surface. Exactly what record of progress are we talking about?
Well, I came on because, first of all, I was driving into the sun on 235 when your rich and plummy British tones literally spoke through my radio to me in my and you asked me by name.
I did
do that, and I was, and I knew that you seemed quite surprised that we were asking Iowa Democrats to come and stand for and with the president. And honestly, you know, the numbers that you just talked about, yeah, that's absolutely true. What the unemployment numbers are from a record that started in the month of his inaugural, 700,000 jobs bled out of the system that month. Mm-hmm. That month alone.
We're not going to blame George Bush, are we?
We are not blaming George Bush. That? And you know, and I knew, I didn't want to say I knew you were going to go there, but here's what. No, we're not blaming George Bush.
Good.
But to not acknowledge where he started is absolutely disingenuous. It doesn't get to the point of 17 months of consistent, consecutive private sector job growth until June. Now, I will say this. The private sector job growth has continued. The rate hasn't changed because government jobs are starting to bleed out of the system. Is that good enough? It absolutely is not. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is not. He'd be the first. He is the first one to say
it. Well, he said he would halve the deficit. He obviously hasn't done that. He said all kinds of things, all kinds of promises that are not even close to reality. He said if he didn't do certain things, he should be a one-term president. He hasn't done them. He's running. Why?
He's running because he's not done. He is running because his record, he really does have a record of achievement. I think if you were broadcasting this show from Detroit, Michigan, then you would be having a conversation that would be a contrast between what Barack Obama pushed through in terms of saving an entire industry and an entire state, and
I don't acknowledge that. I don't think that's acceptable. First of all, they're bulldozing large parts of Detroit and turning it back to farmland, so I don't think that's a success. And secondly, no, in private industry, failure has got to be an option. Giving a car industry over to the unions is not an answer. With our money, which we don't have, it's actually China's money in the first place.
First of all,
we can't do that.
They didn't give over the car industry to the unions. What they did
was GM.
What they did, all that money's come back. And at
the
same
time, who's the biggest shareholder now? The union.
At the same time, those good jobs that kept middle class families working, those jobs are there. And I just, you know what the thing is, on the record, there is no way you and I, we're not going to agree.
That's fine.
And I'm not trying to convince you.
That's fine.
And, but honestly, as we stand and look at where this entire situation is, where the race is, Democrats are going to come out. Tens of thousands of Democrats are going to come out and caucus for the president because it isn't just that piece. Mm. None of this operates out of context, and you know that.
Of course. But one in four Democrats want somebody else. That's a CNN poll. 27%.
And today, Public Policy came out, and once again, Barack Obama, not up against some generic Republican, against Romney, against Perry, and against Michelle Bachmann.
We're talking about Democrats that want a different candidate. Democrats.
Well,
27% of Democrats want somebody
else.
No
other Democrat is running right now, well, so I don't see that.
Let's talk about, actually, one is, I had him in the studio. Total
Mr.
nut job.
I know you did.
Total nut job.
Thank you for
but,
that.
But 95% tax rate, not high enough, is what he said to me in here. In that chair, in actual fact. One thing Democrats do great is they own the language. It's astounding to me that the Republicans let him get away with it. And not just the Democrats, but the whole left. You know, global warming, and we're not going to agree on that. From my perception, clearly garbage, proven garbage, absolute fraud, proven fraud, manipulation of data. We could go on and on and on. When they realized they could no longer sell global warming, probably because it was so cold, they changed the language to climate change. I refuse to use that term because they sold global warming. I'm going to take him down on global warming. Now, the Democrats have come up with this wonderful term. It's brilliant. And I genuinely believe if you own the language, you own the argument. The middle class. Who the heck are the middle class?
Well, actually, that's a good question, because the middle class in this country is shrinking to a degree not seen since 1928 and 29, where the most of the country's wealth is concentrated with the least amount of people since 1929. Okay. So, in fact,
that
the middle class.
That is a political answer, though, and I don't accept that from anybody. Who are the middle class?
The Democratic,
am I middle class?
Well, of course you are.
I figured I was.
You are.
I figured I was.
I am. Okay. You're a person who is working. Uh-huh. You're a person I would suspect is a person who can have a safe home environment with most of the things that you need and a few of the things that you want and provide for your children and provide some bit of future
Would you accept that the middle class is probably the vast majority of the United States?
I do not accept such a thing, because we have got a situation right now where we have got a record number of children sliding into poverty. If the split in the two classes, you just talked about the numbers. I'm not going to disagree with you on the number of families that are on food stamps. I absolutely, you're right. And that is the mark of the shrinking middle class. So the Democratic Party.
One in six in poverty, are they middle class?
No.
No, they're not. Okay.
No, they're not.
I'm just curious as to who the president is talking about
if
when
you
talk
are,
constantly
if you have,
about the middle class.
If your family doesn't have food stability, if your family is just but one paycheck away from catastrophic loss of your home or health care, if you're a person who at this time of year is making a decision on whether or not the coat from the third grader is going to work in the winter for the first grader, and that's a real concern of yours, then that's a problem.
Okay.
And so I would suggest
Shouldn't the president be speaking to those people as well as the middle class?
Yes.
But he isn't. He's just talking about the middle class. It's a wonderful little move. It really is. Well, time is so limited. I want to get through as much as I can. I would really love to have you back once a month. I said that to you while we were off the air.
You did.
And you said you were going to see how this went. How's it going so far, by the way?
It's going fine.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. Look, the language aimed at regular Americans who frankly stood up to be counted and classed themselves as Tea Party folk has been, I think, disturbing. Terrorists holding the country hostage, barbarians from the Vice President of the United States, take the SOBs out from a union leader, an online game where you get to kill actual presidential candidates. That's a really nice one. Michelle Bachmann pictured in a bra only. Very nice. And this all after the president called on everybody to tone down the rhetoric. I think quite rightly, by the way. I do think quite rightly. Yet he can't bring himself to condemn any of this language. Why not?
I don't actually take your point. Are we going to go for dueling extremism on either end? Of course.
No, I don't want that. I want this, Sue.
Right.
I want us to be able to sit in a room together, have a conversation, know going in that we're probably going to disagree on just about everything, but be civil with each other.
And I have always, we do that at the Iowa Democratic Party. In fact, I've made a bit of a thing about it. But I don't think, I think my concern with the extremism of the Tea Party is the extremism of their positions. Mitt Romney stood up there last night and identified the four aces, you know, that in the poker hand of Rick Perry. One of them, he said, was no income tax. That's, you know, Rick Perry standing up there talking about Social Security is a monstrous lie. These are extreme. Again, and that's not
an extreme position. I called for a balanced budget. Tom Harkin Turdo was on some kind of cult fringe, which we embraced perfectly willingly here. We actually formed the balanced budget cult and went out and had a meeting. But you know, Tom Harkin, your senator, says I'm on the cult fringe because I want a balanced budget. I mean, this language is ridiculous.
But again, the impact of the balanced budget, cut cap and balance, is that the cut cap and balance thing? The impact of that is draconian. And so I do think it's extreme.
Okay. So and we're balancing it, so we just have to keep borrowing money or printing it, one or the other.
I think that if I came in here with a list, I could certainly have come in here with a list of some of the extremism on the part of both of the right fringe when you talk about the Tea Party extremism.
But you won't answer the question.
The entire conversation. Then ask me your question again.
Okay. Do you think it's okay for the Vice President of the United States to call me a barbarian?
I don't
That's really
think
a
he
yes
called,
or no. He did.
He didn't call
We are
you.
The only people keeping the barbarians from the gate. I am the person who identifies myself as a Tea Party person.
He was using hyperbole, and I actually think that the extreme positions that the Tea Party is espousing and pushing the Republican Party toward.
Do you think it's okay for Jimmy Hoffa to refer to me as an SOB who he wants to take out?
Well, I'll tell you this. You knew what Jimmy Hoffa was talking about. When Jimmy Hoffa was referring to the SOBs, he's talking about this is a man who has spent his entire life working for working people.
Who knew and that the union leader was a hereditary position? Who
and
knew
the
that?
Assault.
It's like royalty.
Jimmy Hoffa has spent, James Hoffa has spent his entire life, and so has his family, coming out of a group of people working hard for working people. Mm-hmm. His people, as he would define them, I think, are under enormous assault. Mm-hmm. So he chose his words. They're not my words, but he chose his words.
Online game trying to kill presidential candidates depicting Michelle Bachmann wearing just a bra. That okay?
Tea Party ralliers going to presidential or vice presidential debates or events carrying weapons.
All right.
But I don't think that's right.
That's legal. The United States is legal. I've got literally 1 minute left before I have
indeed,
to go.
Indeed, but I just what
so
I would
some
like
very,
to say
very quick question.
Going back and forth like this, I just don't think that's productive. Because if we can go back and forth,
well, imagine how I feel being called a barbarian and a terrorist. Do you think Mike? Let's bring it to Iowa. Do you think Mike Gronstal has too much power?
No.
No, so
he's
whoever
Senate,
happens to have that leadership role, that's not too much power.
The Senate majority leader has the power the Senate majority leader has.
Okay. Are you aware of my red light petition?
Yes. Oh, yeah, the cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's purely bipartisan, and I have one right here, which I'm going to ask you to sign. I've sent one out to every member of the legislature, every single member, and I've not had a single reply, positive or negative, from any Democrat. Why do you think that is?
Have you gotten them from the Republicans?
Yes. Signed.
Oh, I just... Well, the Des Moines traffic light system is just really not...
It's not Des Moines, it's Iowa. The whole state. I have 15 seconds, which is enough time to thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you are welcome.
And I am thanking you genuinely, and I would love you to come back because I really would like to do this again in more detail and more depth with more time. So hopefully you, when we get off the air, you're going to tell me that that's okay. Sue Dvorsky, thank you genuinely for coming in today. This is the Simon Conway Show. So much more to come. News Radio 1040 WHO.